This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. The city of Galesburg this past fall was awarded a state grant to essentially help remove lead from homes, and now it's time to kind of administer that grant. Joining me to talk about that is Judy Gunseth, the city of Galesburg's housing coordinator, and also Will Hayes, the assistant administrator at the Knox County Health Department. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for coming in tonight.
Well, good evening, Will. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Will, thanks for coming in as well.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. I want to talk about this in maybe broad strokes first. I think we've been thinking about this a lot in the last couple of years because of the efforts by the city to replace the lead water service lines going into a number of homes. But I think it's been one of those things where, while that was identified as a problem, at least lead in drinking water, I don't know that maybe we've thought as much as we should about what some, I think, have said is a bigger problem, and that's the age of homes in the city and the fact that there's probably a lot of lead-based paint there.
Yes, there is. I did a kind of a number stat thing a couple years ago when I first came to the city, and 80% of the housing stock was built before 1978,
wow.
And that's when lead paint was outlawed, and we haven't had a whole lot of new construction, so many of our dwellings do test positive for lead paint. We also have the issue that many of the subdivided older homes have been subdivided into rental units, and most often than not, low-income people are in those rental units, and a lot of times there are small children with them, too.
In terms of the rental properties, Judy, are the landlords just aware of what the problem is and are trying to fix it, or are they, by and large, not all that easy to work with?
The landlords that we work with have usually been very cooperative. One of the things that we do when we go out and do a rental inspection, we aren't testing for lead. Now, when we do see issues like peeling paint and windowsills and things like that, we do bring that to the attention that we think that that's probably a lead hazard issue. We tell that to the landlord. And most often or not, they do try to take care of those things. Although sometimes we just don't know how sometimes they do take care of it. But for the most part, I think that they're very conscientious about it.
Well, from the health department's perspective, how serious of a problem is this?
The health department for years has felt lead is a true concern. As Judy mentioned, the 80% of the housing stock pre-1978, which means 80% of the homes in Galesburg probably have some lead paint in them somewhere.
Okay.
We do environmental lead testing in homes that have children with an elevated blood lead. It's a state mandate that all children have to be tested at the age of, well, have to be screened at the age of one, which usually means a test because we live in an area that has a lot of zip codes that is considered a high-risk zip code because of those pre-1978 homes.
What does that test involve, usually?
It is a blood lead draw.
Okay.
It's a venous draw to actually confirm that they have an EBL, and anything above 5 picocuries per liter is considered high, which... that is an extremely small amount of lead exposure. It's really important to remember that lead does no good to the body. The human body does not need lead in it at all. So any level of lead is bad. Mm-hmm. The higher the lead level, the worse. It really affects developmental issues, and young children are a huge concern.
So once
they're still developing.
So I'm sorry, Will. So once a child is tested for lead, what happens then?
So if they're tested for lead and they are an EBL above 5, we go out and do a case management of the child, which means we do a lot of education and nutritional information with the parents.
Okay.
We monitor and follow the child till they are retested and fall below the level of 5 or turn age 6. 6 is the cutoff for it. And then we also do an environmental investigation where we go out, we do a lead risk assessment on the property, we determine where our lead hazards. That means we don't find every drop of lead in the house. We're looking for areas where lead paint is deteriorated in bad condition or it's a friction surface.
I imagine while you don't find everything necessarily, I imagine what you do find would probably surprise a lot of people, right?
A lot of people are surprised. A lot of people just don't understand the prevalence of lead paint and how much lead's in homes.
Mm.
Anywhere that was going to be exposed to a lot of weather or frictions, which such as windows and doors opening and closing, that type of stuff, or baseboards even where, you know, people hit their feet against them, chairs get pushed mm-hmm. against them. Many, many homes, those were painted with lead paint.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they may have been painted over 3, 4, 5, even 10 times sometimes now, but in those friction surfaces where things are rubbing or where things get keep pushed up against a door or a baseboard or something like that, that paint will wear off. And the dust is the biggest concern. Everybody worries about like a kid eating paint chips. It's really that dust that we're worried about, which comes from those services.
So once it's there, a lot of times you just it just doesn't leave.
It doesn't. You know, I remember when I first started doing lead 20 years ago, the CDC used to tell us, oh, talk about how it's really inexpensive to do lead abatement. And I always felt like that was never true.
yeah.
You know,
on paper, it might be inexpensive.
Right. And the theory that was used is, well, you know, they can do interim controls of painting over stuff. Well, that is true. You can. But a gallon of paint nowadays is more than $20. And painting over is a short-term fix. And that's one of the great things about this program that the city has. With what they're doing, they're actually eliminating a lot of lead sources, which is just great because that means you are getting rid of the problem altogether, not just putting a coat of paint over
it. Just masking it.
Right. A few years later, it's back to being a problem.
So when we talk about completely getting rid of the problem, what sorts of things are done? And I imagine these are things that would be that can be done through this grant, right?
Well, we don't want to limit what they will do because they go in and test. But some of the things that they will do is new windows.
Okay.
Sometimes they will replace porches or take the paint off of porches and provide new structures and things that would get rid of it. Siding. They will encase like old siding. I don't think that they're going to go in and take the paint off of old homes, but they will side them. So,
okay.
And what will also happen in this grant is that they'll make sure that it becomes lead safe, and that house will go on the city registry of being lead safe. But if there's also other issues, such as maybe some electrical issues or plumbing issues, there is other money available to address those issues as well. And a lot of times people are thinking, oh, low to moderate income. They're thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, I won't qualify. The problem is that it's higher than what you think.
Let me back up right there, Judy, and let's talk about the qualifications to be able to get money and get help through this grant. Again, you started with low income, but that's maybe not necessarily what we think it is.
Right. It actually, the term is low to moderate income. Okay. And so a family of four can earn about $52,000 and still qualify. So I think that for most people wouldn't think that. And so it has to be 80% of the median income for Knox County, and that's on the HUD website if you want to do that.
Okay.
Priority is given to homes and apartment units, and so we're going to make that absolutely clear. It's not just homeowners. It is renters as well, and it's based upon the renter's income, not the landlord's. And so they would need to apply. But if you have children, especially if they elevated lead blood levels, or ELB, that's easier to say, they do qualify. Or if you're pregnant, or if you're grandma, grandpa, or aunt and uncle, and you have grandchildren or relatives or children in your home frequently, you can also qualify.
And Will, when a lot of these things are done, do you go back in and test again? How does that, I guess, that process work?
So,
and does it work?
Well, so there's two different types of testings that occur. If we have a child with an elevated blood lead that we're doing an environmental lead on, we have to do a clearance test. But even with this program, when they get done doing their work, they have to do clearance testing as well.
Because
one of the big keys is we want to make sure that when this project is completed, or anyone's completed doing their project of this nature, there is no lead dust in that house for exposure to the children.
And once you go in and do all this work and you're tested and things seem okay, is there a risk of lead returning somehow?
It's one of these. So the reality is it depends on exactly what's done.
Okay.
When you have encapsulation done, they look at a 25-year lifespan for encapsulation. When you have – if you're just doing stuff in this paint stabilization, which the HUD program doesn't – this grant doesn't do. They actually do encapsulation or replacement. You're going to reduce the risk of there ever being lead exposure again. But – if there is still environmental contaminants outside or neighbors have lead, you can track lead dust in your house, and it really becomes important for homeowners to stay diligent with cleaning.
And it sounds like, too, once you remediate lead in one home, if all the homes around you still have lead in them, that work needs to be done there, too, I imagine.
The ideal scenario would be, yes, to eliminate any home with lead paint. The key really is, though, lead is a heavy metal. It doesn't float real far in air, but at the same time, if you do have a neighbor very close to you that potentially has lead paint on their house and their windows, and you're having your windows, even if yours has been replaced, back to it's important to keep those wet cleaned. And really the easiest cleaning is wet washing, soap and water.
What a novel concept. Will, when is it as simple as we've been led to believe that maybe lead-based paint is a bigger problem than lead in the water supply?
My opinion, yes.
Okay.
Most researchers will tell you lead-based paint is truly a greater exposure. And that's not downplaying that someone can get lead poisoning through water.
Oh,
and
sure.
We don't need to address lead water lines. Lead leaches out in water from contact. So that's where the real issue in lead in water comes, or there's some sort of disturbance occurs that breaks stuff loose so that you get more lead in the water. Lead paint, you know, if you have lead paint in your windows and it breaks down and it becomes a fine dust and your wind blows and it blows in, it's on your kid's toy, hand to mouth.
Sure.
There's a lot greater chance of exposure.
Are you finding that people still have other things in homes that, like, you know, toys or other items or things that they've kept for years that may have that lead risk in it that's above and beyond, you know, like the use of lead-based paint on a home?
Occasionally we'll find something. It's a lot more rare than it used to be. I remember back in the early 2000s, there was the giant scare with mini blinds. You know, occasionally we'll find an old mini blind that's still around, but it's pretty rare. Most toys and candies we have, knock on wood, haven't had any real recalls on any of those in a few years.
Yeah, no kidding.
But occasionally something does pop up.
Okay. Judy, I'm almost out of time, but let me turn back to you. And if there are homeowners or property owners that need help remediating lead in their homes through this grant program, where should they turn? How should they go about it?
Well, I do want to reiterate that, and I'm calling on landlords out there. It is owner-occupied and rental units, and it is based upon the tenant's income.
Okay.
But they can contact the city. Obviously, there's applications at City Hall. There's also applications at the Knox County Health Department. There's also a webpage on the city website that has a link to the application. There is a different application between owner-occupied and rental unit. If anybody is overwhelmed once they look at that application, they can call the city. They can call me 345-3652. And we can kind of help them through that. WRC can help them. And so
that's the Western Illinois Regional Council.
Correct. And so I don't want people to be overwhelmed with the application. Most people would, like I said, because of income, might think that they overqualify. But I think more people would qualify. We do have this grant for 200 homes. And right now we have about 15. So we've got a substantial amount of money.
Long way to go.
A long way to go. And like I said, it's not just lead remediation. We have other funds in there to deal with other issues that could crop up there. We're about making homes healthy and safe. And so it really is making a difference in Galesburg.
Will, did you want to add something?
I guess the big thing I would do is I'd encourage individuals, even if they think they're borderline on income, pick up an application, apply. You know, if you do, it's an application. All applications, none of us like filling them out. It's the reality of it. But, you know, take the time, do what you can, call, get some assistance from the city or someone else if you have something you don't understand. But don't overlook this opportunity. This is a great opportunity happening in the Galesburg community, and individuals really need to take advantage of it.
Right. Indeed.
Thanks again to Will Hayes of the Knox County Health Department and Judy Gunsett, the housing coordinator for the city of Galesburg. We'll link to some of the information the city has on the lead hazard remediation grant online at WGIL.com when we post this conversation. Stay tuned. Sports and business news are next on Galesburg's Evening News.